Welcome to the Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear. This week we have a returning guest, Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh, how are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good. So I'm glad you decided to come on here. I know I've had a couple different topics that we haven't managed to come together on and record yet, but the topic we'll get into is very important. As you know, we're going through the COVID-19 pandemic, and there's a lot of things going on right now between the churches, the government, Christians, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And one of the biggest things outside of the church issues, because the church issue is pretty much should the church have service on Sunday, even though the government says that you shouldn't have more than 10 people? Should they have roadside services? Drive-in, basically drive-in services, which some people in my area have done. And then the people that are saying, well, God tells me not to worry about nothing. He's got this. God's got me, so I can just do whatever I want to, and I'm bulletproof. And so that's the reason why I brought you on here. So I guess I'll let you choose. We can start with the church services itself, or we can start with an individual person and their views on faith versus just being an idiot.
Well, let's start with the churches, because that's a tricky one. I think as believers, like for us as believers, and I don't pretend that everyone who listens to your show or any show is a believer, so I say it with as much respect as possible. But for us, our truth is that the church is very important to God. It is, God's bride. But one thing that we do a lot as believers is we put too much or not enough importance on the actual building and call that the church, And so I've seen a lot of these pastors and I've read a lot of interviews on various media outlets, from Christian media outlets to secular media outlets. And I think that everyone who's doing it is doing it with best intentions, but there seems to be this fear that if their building is not open, that is going to be the cause or the downfall of someone in particular, who might be struggling or need to get through there. And I get that, and I think it's honorable, but I think it's a decision either based in rebellion or fear, and neither of those to me are godly. And again, I don't say that and try to pretend to know what these pastors are thinking. I imagine and expect that they've prayed and they're doing what they think is necessary. But if your government, your local government, says to do something, I mean, we're commanded by scripture to obey local government, right? I mean, Christ, Christ, that was one of the things Christ compelled us to do, as well as the Apostle Paul. So,
Which is one of the reasons why they wanted to kill Jesus, because the Jews were looking for, well, many of the Jews, I should say, especially the Pharisees, were looking for a military leader that will come up and give the Jews the power over the Romans. And when Christ's teachings, he was like, hey, look, no, we're not going to. I'm not here for you to overthrow Caesar, overthrow Rome, or do that. He's like the rules,
right.
the world and the kingdom that I'm talking about is here, but has yet to come. And he's like, let them, follow them. God puts your leaders in, and that's what gets me, because we are in America and we do have a constitution, and it's crazy that we've pushed God so far away from our society. But the one thing that I do see as a positive that's coming from this is a lot of people are doing exactly what you said, and they're realizing that the church is more than four walls. That the church is each individual person. That the church is the entire world. The church is the church is everything. It's not just a building with four walls that you go to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and then you're just free the rest of the week.
Right.
And I think a lot of the churches, which a lot of people don't like it, but I think that's because of the era that they were raised in, or the generation that they was raised in, and that is the online churches, you know, where they're having their churches live streamed, or, you know, Facebook Live or Skype or something like that, or they're pre-recorded, you know, doing stuff to keep the congregation safe. And that goes back into the individual portion. But before we get to that, that's why I also like the idea of the drive-in churches.
Yeah.
Or, you know, where the pastor walks outside with a mega speaker and mm-hmm. standing on the steps of the church and everybody's in their cars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I've seen pictures of it. I thought it was a interesting, is not the right word. Innovative is the word I was thinking of, you know, but it's not, and I think you would agree, like all that points to is that as human beings, we were innately created for connection, you know, and like my family and I, we've been watching services on TV. We're blessed to have a church that live streams several services on the weekend. And so we've been doing that for the last few weeks, and I enjoy it. And it's a different kind of heavenly experience. And I mean that like it's a great thing. Like it's a good God honoring thing to be able to sit on your couch while you're eating breakfast and, you know, petting your dog. Like that's a holy experience also, but you don't get the connection of the other people. So I get the desire for, you know, the drive-through churches and I get the reasoning behind, I think I can't pretend to know what their reasons are, but I get the reason behind wanting to keep your church open, because some of the passages I've read, for them, it's they're not going to let fear cause them to shut their doors. But the problem, like we said a minute ago, is if you're in a state that has those orders, you're inadvertently teaching your congregation that rebellion's okay, you know, because no one's telling them, like, hear me, and this is probably a different show, like, if there was people saying you can't preach anymore, like that's a rebellion that honors God right there, right? To keep doing that. But that's right. Not what's happening. Like no one's saying you can't preach, and no one's saying you can't have online church services, and no one's saying you can't have Zoom meetings, and no one's even saying you can't meet one-on-one with your pastor if there's a dire emergency. Like people are getting creative all over the country, seeing their grandkids through windows, seeing like all these different things. So nobody's saying that can't happen. If that were the case, then they'd have an argument to me. I would agree with that.
But no one's saying that. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you have a person that, you know, has, you know, a really bad sickness that's contagious, you know, you don't intentionally have them go to church for it. You know, and if these some of these pastors, if they have these church services, especially like these mega churches where everybody is right on top of each other no matter what, and, you know, 10 or 15 of them are sick, and next thing you know, half your church is in the hospital, I mean, who's at fault? Is it Christ, or is it the people that decided they didn't want to take the advice, the sound advice of leadership, and stay, you know, just put a pause on it? It's not like they're coming out and be like, hey, you, like you said, they're not coming out and say, hey, you can't be a Christian, hey, you can't preach, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's, hey, we're trying to save lives here, we're trying to keep people from dying. And to me, going above that and just saying, no, we're going to have church service and then someone dies, I mean, that's to me on the shoulders of those that made that decision. I mean, I don't know if I'll go as far as saying it, you know, be considered murder in the eyes of the Lord, but I mean, it really seems like it'd be a cold-blooded thing to me.
Yeah, I just read a story yesterday of a guy, I think in California, the state's really not as important, but it was before everything was put in place. And this guy went to two family events, you know, which is like we said a minute ago, connection is like a good God-given thing. Went to two family events and inadvertently got 15 people, family or close family friends, sick with COVID because he didn't know he was asymptomatic. They say maybe had a little cough but wasn't really feeling sick. Got 15 people sick and two of them died. Like, these are family and close family friends, right? So this guy, whether you know he did it on purpose or not, has that on his conscience forever, you know. And so there's stories like that happening all over the place. And you know, it's, I think we're probably gonna bounce back between your two questions just because of the nature of the conversation, but that's where the personal responsibility comes in. And maybe that now would be a good time for you to kind of intro that thought.
Well, I think how should I say it? You know, the idea of the shepherd and the sheep, or the shepherd and the flock, I should say, because right now the word sheep has a really bad meaning to it now, or connotation, I should say. But if we look at that, you know, you have leaders that are leading their people in the wrong direction, then people come with these expectations of what's right and what's wrong, or these beliefs, because their leaders told them that way. And I don't really think it's a theological argument, because you know, when you have a theological argument or a theological debate or even a philosophical debate, it's more of, hey, this is my opinion and you know, this is your opinion, and there's no way we can prove it to be fact, because it's all theories. However, with this situation, it just seems like a common sense type thing. And I get a lot of criticism for this, but a lot of things in Christianity to me are just common sense. Like, you know, people do, what would Jesus do? Like, okay, well, common sense says this. Right. You know, if there's a giant sickness going around and people are dying from it, common sense tells you that, you know, you should study your Bible at home for a couple of weeks. You know, pull up some sermons on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, it's common sense thing to me, but a lot of people, and I've noticed it's a lot of elderly people have this, which I can understand some of it, because a lot of these people that are older, you know, they survived World War II, they just survived the Great Depression, you know, they survived polio and like all this other stuff that's happened, you know, and they're just like, well, man, this is just one more thing that's been added to my life.
Yeah.
But complacency is just as bad to me as ignorance. I mean, the only difference is if you're ignorant, you just don't know anything. But when you're complacent, you just refuse to remain on guard. And that goes to, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know which one's worse, but complacency is definitely more dangerous. You know what I mean? It's more dangerous than ignorance. Like, I laughed a second ago because as you were saying that, like, you know, common sense would say if there's a sign up that says there's sharks in the ocean, you don't go in the ocean. You know what I mean? And I have a long commute every day, you know? So when I get in the car, the first thing I do, like, I know how to get home, you know, like the back of my hand, like I could do it subconsciously. I know how to get home. But the first thing I do, and I'm probably right there with a lot of other Americans, first thing I do is put in my address of my destination on my GPS to make sure there's no accidents and there's no bad traffic. Common sense would say if there's an accident, you don't want to drive into that accident. And it's not because you don't care about the people in the accident. It's because it's already happened and there's already other people there doing what they need to do. And I think that accident analogy is really fitting for what we're talking about right here, right? Like, it's not fear to say there's an accident on my way home, I'm not going to go there. It's common sense. You know, like, the last thing the roads need is more people on them. And you know what I'm saying? I think it's a decent and fair analogy.
Well, no, that makes sense. And I mean, you want to be prepared, and being prepared doesn't mean You know, as an example, me, the wife, and my oldest, well, my second oldest, have loaded firearms in my house 24/7. You know, do I want to use them? No, not unless it's hunting season. Will I use them? Most definitely. You know what I mean? I don't have them because I'm searching for something bad to happen. I'm not trying to have something. I have faith that the Lord's going to make sure that no one comes in my house. But the devil is real. Evil is real, and evil is out there. And there's times when, you know, the Lord puts us in situations where we, and, you know, to where I can have protection in my house. But the Lord gave me three girls that still live with me, and at times I got two grandbabies that are here. And, I mean, that's just what it is, not getting off subject. But I really kind of think it's important to understand the difference in being smart and being dumb. And the reason why I chose you to do this episode is because I'm seeing a lot of stuff where people, which you know I hate, Josh, because you know me for a long time, where people have picked stories in the Bible. And they're like, this is the reason why I think I have. And the biggest ones would be like Joseph and the Many Colors. You got, Daniel in the Lion's Den? I think that was one that we saw. And there was one more.
Jonah was the one I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and Jonah. And I'm like, well, you know, which you can go through all three of them. Because this is your time to preach, not mine. But on a quick glance from my perspective, is two of them didn't have a choice, and they were being used by God to prove a point.
Right.
You know, that's Joseph and Daniel. But Jonah, he didn't have faith in the Lord. That's the reason why he was in the whale. He didn't have faith in the Lord until he got in the well. So if we apply that to our current situation, that would be him going tirelessly to, you know, someone going just running around, let people sneeze in their mouth in Walmart and New York City, and then catching the coronavirus. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, God, help me. I got corona. I was having, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, the idea with Joseph and Daniel to me would be like a doctor or a nurse who has faith, but they have to do their job. You know, they have to do what they were put down for. And then, you know, if they got sick, which would be equivalent, you know, to being sold as a slave like Joseph or being thrown into the lion's den, you know, they're not having to gain the faith that they didn't have. They had the faith the whole time. They were just put in a situation where they had no choice but to be in a dangerous situation. And I really think that's the difference between having faith on a true basis and then having faith on really a selfish basis.
Yeah, it's, you know, that whole line of thinking that I can do whatever because God will protect me. It reminds me a lot, and I'll only say it on your show because I know you love controversy, but it reminds me a lot.
No, not me.
But it reminds me a lot of the churches down south, where they, you know, dance with snakes and drink poison and do weird stuff, you know, because they've got, you know, Bible verses to support what they believe to be good theology and that God's going to protect them. And to me, again, it's the same thing as running into shark infested waters and saying, God will protect me. And so when you talk about the story of Daniel, I'll start there because it goes hand in hand with what we were talking about with the pastors keeping their churches open. To me, the difference with Daniel is Daniel was being told he could not worship God anymore, right? Like, that's what he was told. And he was set up, and Nebuchadnezzar was really sad with the outcome that he kind of put in his mouth. But Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because he wouldn't stop, you know, he wouldn't bow down. He wouldn't stop worshiping our God, the one true God. And so Daniel wasn't He wasn't like, watch me walk into the lion's den. Like, look at this. I'm going to walk into a lion's den. He was forced into the lion's den, you know, didn't choose to go there. He was forced there. And because of his obedience to God, and ultimately because it was God's will, like the story could have gone differently and God would still be God and he would still be exalted. And it would have been still as amazing. You couldn't tell your kids to it. You couldn't tell your kids the story right before bed, but God would still be God. You know what I mean? But so Daniel's a little unique. The story of Jonah isn't even about Jonah. It's about the Ninevites. It's about God's grace. It's about God's mercy. It's about his love for the people that we even think are lost. You know, it's about the fact that we'll be surprised who we see in heaven and who we don't. You know, it's all of those different things. And, you know, when God saves Jonah, it's because he loves Nineveh, you know, and to use Jonah as an example to me is misguided, because in the end of Jonah, like, Jonah doesn't repent. We don't see any miraculous turnaround from Jonah. He's mad and God takes away his shade. He has a worm take away his shade, you know, like he leaves Jonah miserable. So to use Jonah as an example of God will protect us, I don't think God protected Jonah for Jonah. You know what I mean? Like, God could have used anyone to minister to the Ninevites because their hearts were ready and repentant, but he chose to use Jonah and he chose to give him a second chance. And I'm grateful for the thousands of chances he's given me, but the story of Jonah is not about Jonah. And the story of Joseph, like, God protected Joseph, but Joseph was a braggart when he was younger and he had some consequences to pay for
right.
that. You know what I mean? Like him being thrown in a pit, like even his dad told him not to brag. And he for sure paid some consequences. Like it didn't cost him his life, but there were still natural consequences and maybe even spiritual consequences for, you know, for his actions. So, you know, none of those to me make a whole lot of sense. Another one that I was thinking of was, you know, was Samson and talk about tempting God, you know, to have this amazing gift and to God, for God to deliver him so many times out of the hand of the enemy, and ultimately his pride and his, you know, his lust and all those other things yep. got him. And ultimately again, God gave him one more, you know, one more amazing bout of strength. But every single one of those stories is about God and not the person, you know, like the whole Bible is about God. It's not about the people in the Bible. Like, yes, it's great. And
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I was sitting here trying to think, cause you know, which I know the listeners know now, like I intentionally don't talk to the guests before the show because I want the conversation to actually be real and in depth. And I don't want it to sound like it's being rehearsed. So while you were sitting there talking about it, I was thinking, and one person that I could think of that keeps coming back to my head that would relied solely on faith that I can think of would have to be Abram when he left Ur, because he left everything for literally nothing. At least what he was. What he could see at the time, not looking at the whole, you know, the end of the story, but just looking at it from Abram's eyes when he left Ur, where, you know, all his riches were and everything else, he was known there, you know, he was, everything was there, and he left really with, hey, just get up and start walking,
right.
And then once you start walking, then we'll have a talk, and you know, and that faith to me is a lot different than saying, you know, have faith that I'm going to protect you and you just go out there and act crazy. And, you know, if we look at the story of when Satan tempted Jesus and he's like, just throw yourself off the side.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of one of those things to me, like if we were actually supposed to do what we were supposed to, then that'd be like Jesus jumping off and being like, well, I know God's going to save me, so I'm going to jump off. I know I'm not going to die. But that's not what happened.
Right.
You know, Jesus, he still rebuked the devil. So I'm really trying not to be one-sided and just be like, hey, these people are a bunch of idiots, because that's not fair, even right. though I think it's true. I'm trying to have an actual, like, process in my head, because, like I said, it on the outer layer, it seems like it would be common sense, but I'm guessing with so many people, with so many people having this question on social media and these different things, it really bothers me that maybe it's not just common sense. Yeah. Maybe it's our fault, Josh, as spiritual leaders, as ministers, as Christians, as, you know, all these things, that there's so many people that are lost out here. Like I've had an older gentleman that came, and he was just like, oh, I ain't worried about it. I got God. I'm going to go do my thing. And I ain't going to catch it, because I don't believe in all this mess. I'm like, okay, well, I can see about you not believing it all, but at the end of the day, you're still bringing the G word into it. And I really don't think God is, you know, like, it's always worked backwards in the Bible to me when people had faith. You know what I mean? They didn't have faith knowing that something crazy was happening. Right. They always had faith when nothing was happening. Like think about think about Noah. You know, it wasn't raining, and then he decided to build an ark.
Right.
You know, he was told to build an ark when there was no rain. Abram, like I just said, he was told to walk when there was no destination in sight. He didn't know that he was going to have everything, and then he started walking. And that's why I don't think a lot of people understand. So if you, and that's the reason why I use doctors and nurses. So if you're a doctor or a nurse, and you know you're going on that, you went to medical school, having that walk by faith without knowing what end was in sight. Right. You know, you didn't go to medical school knowing that in 2020 COVID-19 is going to hit, or, you know, in 1917 the Spanish flu is going to hit. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't know all these things. But it would, right now, like today, people going places and getting sick just because they want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, just, you know, just for the listeners, pretty much everyone you talked about is in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, some people call it the Hebrews Hall of Fame, but there's a whole list of people whose faith was, you know, accounted to them as righteousness. You know, that whole list is full of people who didn't know, and a lot of them, you know this, a lot of them never even got to see God's promise come true in their lifetime. It happened after they passed. And there's probably scientists and people working on this thing right now who may not ever even see. I mean, some of the ones that died in Wuhan, right? They're never going to get to see this thing fully play out. But in faith, because it's the right thing to do, they did it. And I think, you know, for me, this whole situation comes down to fear. People are either driven by fear, or, you know, or through fear. And what I think you see, like, there are people, especially from the older generation, and both of my grandfathers are veterans, and, you know, their generation, it wasn't manly to show fear, you know. And so I guess in a way you could say they are afraid of being afraid, you know, and so it plays itself out in a lot of different ways. And unfortunately, one of those biggest ways is ignorance. Like, you know, if I'm not afraid of something, then that means I shouldn't think about it. And that's not true. There's a fine line, you know, and one of the verses that I love to go to is 2 Timothy 1:7-8, and you'll know it right away, but it says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. He's talking about Paul, who's in prison. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And I love that verse because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And I love that he says that, because basically what he's saying is that if your quote unquote lack of fear doesn't have love, then it's still fear. Does that make sense? So like there's people out there that are saying, I'm not going to let fear rule the operating faith. Well, if the actions that you're doing are not loving, then it's still fear, right? It's just covered up. And so I think that's what you kind of have to, you have to run it through that litmus test. Like, is what I'm about to do, is it loving? And if it's not loving, then it is in some way operated by fear or ignorance or whatever. But I think we'd both agree the root of most things is fear, you know?
And see, I like that you say that, and I think that it needs to be explained that there, a lot like you were saying, that there's two types of fear. There's fear out of love and respect, and there's fear out of intimidation. Right. You know, and as a prime example, a person that's involved in domestic violence, they fear their spouse out of intimidation. But we're supposed to fear God not out of intimidation, but out of love, because He is He is omnipotent. You know, He is all knowing and all powerful. But even though we use the same word in English, there's actually it's actually two different meanings when we actually try to sit down. It's kind of like when we use love versus other languages like the Greek language, which has four different words for what we use as love. And I think it goes back to what you said about love. If we fear something, but we have faith in God, that's one thing. But when we fear something and have fake faith, when the faith is actually whether you could say overconfidence or conceited or selfish, you know, because, you know, I could be sitting right here, and if the Lord wanted me to catch some unknown thing, I'm going to get it. You know, like, there's not nothing. Look at Job, for example, right? You know, and people's like, well, I trust God that I'm not going to get it. And I'm like, yeah, Job trusted God too, dude. Keep playing with him. You know, keep, because to me, that sounds like you're tempting God. Where you're like, God, I got so much faith in you that I know you're not going to make me sick. But it's kind of like that underlining, but if I do get sick, then it's going to hurt me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
and then it's, you got
a battle of our will above God's. Like we say we submit to God's will, but only when it's comfortable for us, you know, and it's the Lord's Prayer, or even Jesus in the garden, you know, Passion Week this week, with Easter coming, like his prayer was, you know, if you can take this cup from me, take it, but your will be done, not mine, you know? And so there's this piece of us that says, well, God's not going to let me get sick. Well, ultimately, like, and same thing with Job, right? The story of Job, like, Job's restored in the end. But even if he's not, like, the whole book of Job isn't even about Job. It's about God's glory, his majesty, his omnipotence, his, you know, his beauty, all of those things. And our suffering is ultimately in the end for our glory, but it's also for the glory of God. And I love, you know, that verse I was reading in 2 Timothy. The reason I read verse 8, because he says, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. And the reason I like that part for this conversation is because what he's saying is, don't be afraid and make sure you still do what you're supposed to do. So this is where the balance in this conversation comes from, because another great verse is perfect love casts out all fear, right? So if love is the driver of our relationship with God and ultimately his way into the hearts of other people, and it's also what pushes away fear, then there's this balance being that we have to walk of, you know, of being wise, taking care of one another, but also doing the will of God. And I don't say this to be funny, but it's still funny, but hoarding all the toilet paper is not a loving thing to do, you know, like, and that's just the polarizing example out there, but that's not testifying about the Lord. That's being driven by fear. So you got to kind of like continually come back to what the Word of God says about fear and love. And this is one of those situations where we're going to be probably ping ponging between both walls over and over again, trying to find Christ in the middle, you know, like my wife and my sister, they both work in hospitals. I work with high risk special needs adults and teens and kids. And so we have, this becomes a social justice issue for a lot of us that still have to work. You know, you're still working. You've got a very necessary job. And so this hygiene and distancing and staying away from the store, go to those places, it's no longer about me and my family, which unfortunately American Christians try to put everything about just them and their family when we have these responsibilities to so much more. But when I do everything I do right now has the potential to affect everybody, you know? And so I've got to make choices. I've got to make choices on a social justice level, you know, to do everything that they're recommending. And maybe it won't all be helpful, but if there's something I can do, then I need to do it, you know? And I think if you got listeners out there and they're letting fear keep them from helping people, whether it's volunteering, like, I don't know how it is where you're at, but food banks are being devastated in Arizona right now. People are having a hard time getting food, and you know, it's probably like that everywhere. But if you got listeners out there and they're saying things like, man, I really think maybe I should go help at the food bank or do this or that, I would say this: if it's healthy and you can do it to the safest way possible, do it. Like my wife right now has been making masks, you know, out of fabric, making masks because they've been so hard to get for a lot of the people she works with at the hospital, everybody who works at the company that I work at. Like, you know, she's been doing everything she can. My brother-in-law has been, you know, getting, he lives kind of in a rural area. He's been getting groceries for older people that live around him. Like, that's good stuff. And I think that we're in a good spot if we're trusting God to keep us healthy within his will and you know, within his plan for us. But still then, like, even if we did get sick, right? Like, God is still glorified through those actions, and they're not done in ignorance now. Now they're done with faith and best intentions. Like, that was kind of a long story, but the point of that is to say there are ways we can still operate in faith and love and still risk the potential of getting sick, but fear's not the driving factor there. You know, like, love is the driving factor. Like, I'm not worried about myself getting sick. I'm worried about the 100 people I could come in contact with and get them sick. And I think that's the heart of Christ. Like, if Christ was worried about Christ, he wouldn't have gone to the cross, but he was worried about everybody, so he did.
I mean, there's a lot of things, like the cat of nine tails. I just be honest with you, Josh, that right there would have been my stopping point. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, and if nobody knows what a cat of nine tails is, then they need to go Google it. That's a bad, bad piece of, torture weapon. Jesus, like,
would have been Peter chopping it off his ear. I would have used the distraction to take off.
But I mean, you know, going to just a beaten part, like that cat of nine tails. Like, I just saw it. Yep, nope, I'm good. You're right. I'm wrong. That thing right there is not touching me.
Do you think the portrayal of it's pretty accurate? I don't know a whole lot about it historically, but that was brutal.
You talking about the Passion of Christ, the movie?
Is that a pretty
With the where they
seven
was beating
angels,
them with,
yeah.
yeah. Off subject, but in that movie, on one of those, that was actually a real cry because the whip actually hit him and tore into
Oh,
his
wow.
skin, and it wasn't supposed to. So you'll have to look it up, but on one of those, they had it made to where it wouldn't do it, but one of them actually got him and actually tore his skin, so his pain was actually real.
Wow.
You
I'm
know,
out. Yeah.
but you know that, you know. But no, so and see, I think that's a different, that right there, what you just said, is a difference where you're like, hey, I'm going to protect myself, but you know, I'm sitting at the house not doing anything. Let me go try to help volunteer at a food bank. Let me go try to help here. I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself. I'm going to do everything I can to protect others. You know, I'm going to have faith that the Lord's going to protect me. Because like you said, it's
Right.
out of love compared to I need to go to a grocery store because I'm sitting at a house bored, but I'm not going to wear a mask because, you know, God's going to
Or
protect me.
even in the good side,
You
like
know, or
even if you're in one of the at-risk categories, that's another reason maybe to not go. Like if you're older and you've got some of those pre-existing conditions they talk about, pray that God will provide people that aren't in that risk category to go do those parts. Like prayer is a really powerful tool, especially if it's all that you've got. You've heard me say this before, but sometimes prayer is the least that we can do at the same time. But for us, but I said that story, like for you and I, we're not in those risk categories and we don't have some of those, pre-existing conditions. So for your listeners out there that are in the areas, that's especially. But there's something everybody can do. Minimum, my wife had to go to the store on Saturday morning, and I was so saddened by just how nasty people were to each other. Everyone was, and just the amount of hoarding and all that I saw. Because again, like preparation is a great thing, man. Great thing, like storing up. Any day, great godly thing, but hoarding at the expense of that's fear. That's not love. Like having extra so you can share with your neighbors, love. Making a couple extra masks for your neighbors, love. Buying up all the masks at the store for your fear. It's just this fine balancing act.
Yeah, two
And
people in your
so
house and you buy 200
yeah,
masks.
right. And so it's just, yeah.
I mean, and it oh, what was it? Those guys spent like $18,000 on hand sanitizer.
At Ruck Up Podcast, we take a little bit of a different approach. We take industry professionals from law enforcement, military, security, and outdoors enthusiasts
from all around the world,
and we hear their story. So let's hear it.
Attack or infiltration or suspected infiltration, and we have to be ready to
allegedly massacred by the Crown Prince, and I was there not to do with that. I arrived the day after.
Check us out at our website at rockupmedia.com.
And they filled up like the back of their pickup truck with it. Like that was, you know, that's ridiculous. And they started selling bottles of hand sanitizer, not the same guys, but there are people on eBay and stuff selling hand sanitizer, you know, a $5 bottle for 50,
I heard
60
that,
bucks
man.
online. You know, I mean, it's just, but you know, I guess that goes to the whole thing of, you know, what's the line, Josh, between, and I guess it would be love, but love is
Sure.
so overused today. The line between being an idiot and actually being a faith servant of Christ, especially in a situation like we're having right now, where we're having a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think that,
I think the
go ahead.
line is probably when in doubt, how can I bless the most people, right? So like is the decision I'm going to make, is it going to benefit me and my family of whatever your size is? Or am I going to make a decision that has the potential to bless everyone else? And sometimes that is a selfish decision, right? Because like for us to have good hygiene, that definitely affects us, but it also affects everyone we come encounter with. So for people who have to be out and about like you and I do, having hygiene, like good hygiene and being meticulous about that is not fear, it's love, right? Like if you start to like fixate on it and you're freaking out and you're like stressing out and that type of stuff, then that's fear, right? Like that's you being scared. But you know, if the dictating thing is other people and love, then that's, you know, that's a good honorable thing.
And I guess that would be, and I guess the overall thing would be the heart, basically, like anything else with Christianity. You know, it really depends on where your heart's at. But I think some people are so caught up in, I guess you'd say it's like religious pride, and it's not actually faith in Christ or faith in God. It's pride, which, you know, is one of the seven deadly sins.
Right.
And I think that the pride is in there. So it's more of a, hey, look what my God can do. I don't know if it's making sense what I'm trying to say, but it is really the human, you know, our natural, what we say, and then the underlying issue. It's kind of like the whole iceberg thing where, you know, you see was like 7% of the iceberg, you know, the rest of it underwater. And it's kind of that thing, you know, on a top layer, you're like, hey, well, I trust in God, so I don't believe in this, or, you know, I have faith in Christ, so I'm going to do this. But then it goes, what's under the water that we can't see? What's driving the force behind it? And how do we have faith that Christ is going to, you know, Christ is with us and the Lord's going to take care of us and not be an idiot?
And to piggyback off what you're saying, this is why I said earlier that all the root of all of these things is either love or fear, because we've all heard stories of somebody, like, or even seen a movie where somebody is so afraid that they close their eyes and try to pretend like something's not there, right? And a lot of people who pretend they're not afraid, that's what they're doing. They're closing their eyes and they're pretending like something's not there, even though it's there. And you know, I was talking to my dad the other day, and he was kind of some of the conspiracy theories he's heard about where it could have originated and all these different things. And my dad's not a conspiracy theory type of person. He's out, but he's in New Jersey up towards, and you know, in one of the hotbeds in the U.S. right now. What's happening is he can't go anywhere, and the rest of his family's out here. He's basically there alone right now because his sister, who he lives with, she's out of town in Texas. And so his fear is driving him, like a lot of other Americans, to take in as much media as possible, because he figures the answer to my fear is information. And my dad's a God-believing man, you know, he's a man of faith. But he's like, you know, the most media I can take in, the better. And he's searching for answers and he's searching for solutions and an end in sight. And the more he seeks information, the more fear comes into his head. And so I told my dad, I said, Dad, when you're battling with these fears and these thoughts, and he stays up at night worrying about my wife and my sister because they work in hospitals, I said, when you're battling these thoughts, the best thing you can do is ask yourself, the thing that I'm stressed out about right now, do I have any control over it whatsoever? And if the answer is yes, then what can I do to help it, right? Because action is not a lack of faith. Like, we've all heard the story where the guy's house is getting flooded and God sends a boat and all these different things and a helicopter, and the guy drowns and gets to heaven and say, God, why didn't you save me? And God's like, I sent this, that, you know. And that's just an anecdote, but it's true. We've all been in situations like that. And so I told my dad, like, if there's something you can do about your fear of the conspiracy theory, then do it. But most of the time, there's nothing you can do about it. And in those situations, it is responsible to say, I will not be ruled by fear. I will stand on the promises of God. You know, I will stand on the fact that no matter what happens, he is supreme. He is loving. He has marked my steps. Before I was even born, he had a plan and a purpose. It says in his word that he has put good deeds in front of me. And I believe those good deeds aren't done yet. But even if they are, praise God. Like, that's when you start to stand on the truths of who God is. You know, not who we are, but who God is. And then you just say, Lord, give me, increase my faith. I'm weak right now. I'm worrying about things I have no control over. And I need you to step in and you know, and lift me up right here. And then if there's something you can do in the natural, do it. Like, that's not, you know, that's not bad. Like, I've been working less hours right now. And so just like most Americans, I've got stuff around my house that I've been wanting to get done for the 15 years I've lived here. So instead of giving myself all this free time to consume media, I spent all day in my garage today, you know, praying and thinking about what we were going to talk about today, but also staying busy and staying healthy. My wife and I have been taking our dogs for walks every day where we live. There's a lot of open land. We're staying away from other people. We've got masks. Like, we're doing everything we can to, and in our state, that is within the guidelines. It's actually something they're encouraging us to do here in Arizona. But do things to get your mind off of it, whatever you can do. And not everybody can go for walks, or not everybody has a garage to clean, but the worst thing you can do is sit with idle hands and consume media and consume conspiracy theories and consume all of this information that you have nothing to do with it. Like, we live in a generation where people, because of YouTube and Google, they know how to make like 7-course meals, but they've never cooked a day in their life. You know what I'm saying? Like our kids know how to play video games that they've never played before because they watched a video on it. And that is useless. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, do something that people, like my wife and I talk about this a lot. Like, what did people do before blank, before electricity, before this, before that? And so I've really challenged myself during this season of COVID and for me, the season of Lent, I've really challenged myself to try to stay busy with things that would withstand catastrophe. So loss of power and, you know, and so for me, that's reading, that's playing music, that's building things, that's, you know, taking care of my animals or the garden or whatever. Like, those are good, healthy, love driven things. We've got chickens, and guess what? We share the eggs with our neighbors because you can't find eggs in the store right now, you know? So I don't know. It was a big long ramble, but you know me, man, when the passion gets fired up, I get going. But you know, I think,
well, no, it's fine, because you brought up some good points, and the first one I would say is, if are you really having faith in the Lord or God or a deity or whoever it may be, if at the same time you're denying what's there?
Yeah.
I mean, is that really faith, or is, you get what I'm saying? Like, you say, oh, I'm gonna trust God with this, and then you just act like it's not even there. Like, you go about your life like it's not even happening. And you know, you use the, you know, the story of the guy with the flooded house, you know, the boat, like everybody comes to save him. He's like, no, God's going to save me. And that would be the same. That'd be the same thing with this. So, you know, you got the coronavirus, and, you know, we're in the greatest country in the world. And, you know, regardless of what people think, we are a Christian country. And we come up with all these tests and these advancements and this medicine and all this other stuff, and then people's like, oh, I'm gonna let God handle it. Okay, well, you're in your house and your house is flooding. There, you know, there's all these people that's come by to try to help you. There's all these things, all these medicines, all these other things that's come by, and you're still saying, well, I'm waiting on God. And God's like, hey, idiot, I'm trying my hardest. You know, I'm trying my hardest to help you, and you're just being like, no, I'm having faith in the Lord. And then, like I said, you're ignoring it. So is it really faith, or is it,
no, it's
something
not faith
else?
Because you and I both believe this, but our theology would say that science and medicine are a common grace. Like, those are a grace that are given to all men, right? And those things are laws right. that God put in place before, you know, the conception of anything. They've always been there. They'll always be there. That's why they're true. That's why they're consistent. That's why they can back them up with science. And so that goes back to the thing I was saying about information, right? Like, that information is useful and it can be used. I can hear that they say that this is the best practice for this virus and use that information. But the information that that starts to be overload is when you start reading about every story about every single person that died. And I'm not saying right. you shouldn't have compassion and pray. Like, my wife's mom, my mother-in-law, her best friend, her mom died suddenly yesterday at her house. And we don't know if it was COVID. The signs don't point there. Thought she had dehydration. Her daughter went out to get her some Gatorade, came back, ambulance was there, husband had to call. Like, this stuff happens quick and it happens everywhere. Like, this is, you know, this is a good family friend of ours. And my mother-in-law called in tears and she's like, man, if I was a good friend, I would go over there. And I said, you know, my wife talked to her and I talked to my wife afterwards. I said, but in this situation, a good friend would stay away, right? Like, the knowledge that we have here
right.
is that the most loving thing she could do, and praise God for FaceTime and all those other common graces, right? Like, all those other things that we have, like, most loving thing she could do is be there from a distance. Because even if mom didn't have COVID, what if, you know, they did, or my mother, like, there's just so many things. And that's not a decision based off of fear. Like, that's a decision based off of love. I guess it could be driven by fear. I can't get into her head, but from where I sit, if I was making that decision, it would be a decision, you know, made from love. But I say that.
But that goes back to the semantics of what I was saying earlier, if you think about it, because I really think it's the driving force behind the fear and not necessarily the fear itself. Because the fear could be, okay, well, what if I get sick from them, or what if they get sick from me? And that's, like you said, that's out of love, compared to, you know, a fear of just yeah. you know what I mean?
I do.
And instead of having like a loving thought behind the fear, you just like have a panic, like you just yeah. panic over it. And I think that would be the difference. And I that's one reason why I really hate how we do our English language, because we have so many words that the definitions change based upon the context right. around it. You know, it's not that you can't just pull a word and always know exactly what it means. You have to read what's before and after it. You know, maybe two or three verses before, two or three verses after yeah. it. You know, sentences, paragraphs, or whatever it may be. But I really think that I'm trying to find a good way to make sure we have everybody to understand what we're actually saying, that we're not saying that you can't have faith in God and God's not going to protect you, but that there's a difference between having faith in God and having common sense and having faith in God and being an idiot.
This might be a helpful way, right? Like, every story that we talked about before, Jonah, Daniel, Joseph, Samson, to a large part, even Job, right? Their situations were dictated for them. You know, Jonah tried to go his own way. Joseph bragged, and that got him thrown in the pit. But ultimately, the end plan, like, for their life was already prepared, and God had a part of that. And we're not going to get into free will and predestination. That's not what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying is, just like the people in those stories.
Yes, it is.
But that's okay. That's not the point right now. it is what I'm saying. You're right. But it's not the point. my theological leans too much. But the point I'm trying to get at is, like, for you and I, for instance, right? God has decided, through our jobs and through the bosses that we submit to, that we still have to, or I would say get to work right now, right? And so we make decisions based off of that. Like, every decision I make is based off the fact that I still get to work right now. My job is necessary. It helps other people. So every decision that I make is based off of the information that the federal government handed down to the state, and then that our state governor, the decisions that he's made, and then my mom and stepdad, who owned the company that I worked for, the decisions that they made, those decisions for a large part are made for me. And I operate within those decisions. And then I do my own things based off the information and knowledge I have out of love and care for other people. There are people listening right now who their situation is different. God forbid they've lost work, or they're working from home, or whatever. The amount of faith that you have to exercise is going to depend largely on the hand that you're dealt right now. You know, some people may be listening to this and being like, oh, this faith thing's easy. I get to work from home right now. And some people may be like, man, this faith thing is hard. I just lost my job. I don't know when I'm going to get to go back. Easy for you to say, you still get to work. Like, the fear and faith that it would take to overcome that fear is going to be completely different for everybody. But just like the people in the stories, hindsight 2020, we get to know that God is always faithful, and we get to know that God will always work all things for his glory, and because he loves us and we're made in his image, for our glory too. It's always going to work out exactly how it's supposed to be. Like, I've got a good friend who always says to me over and over again that this moment will never, ever, ever happen the same way again. So if it's a rough moment, rejoice in the fact that you'll never have to live through it again. If it's a good moment, rejoice in the fact that it may never come again, but you got to experience it at least once. And he also says, right, that the moment that you're in, everything about the moment, like this conversation we're having, the room I'm sitting in and sweating a little bit because I'm in Arizona and my ceiling fan's not on, even though it's probably cold everywhere else. Like, everything in this moment is exactly how it's supposed to be right now. So I can't change the COVID and everything around me, but I can embrace this moment, and we can hopefully, without too much rambling, bring love and hope and peace, and let the word of God and God's love cast out fear in the hearts of the people listening, right? Like, there's always a right thing and a wrong thing to do in every situation. You know what I mean? In this instance, fear is the wrong thing and love is the right thing. And I don't think we can define it super well because we don't know everybody's exact situations.
And the language barrier. I think that's what really hurts it, is that we don't have a definite word. They're like, hey, this is what I'm saying, and this is exactly what it means. You know, everything can be made into a soundbite. But as you was talking, I was just thinking, you know, this virus or flu or pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, regardless, is, you know, people are dying from it. So I guess what we could do is look at it, and, you know, I know you'll tell me if I'm wrong, but I guess we could look at it as a fact of, you know, if something happens to me, like, if I get it and I die, I'm perfectly fine with it. Yeah. I know where I'm going. If I'm right, I have nothing to worry about it. However, you know, my kids won't have a dad. My wife won't have a husband. You know, now, also, what if I have it and it's not affecting me, and then I go out acting crazy and then give it to someone else and they lose their life without being able to accept Christ, you know, because that's the whole point of being a Christian. So then, you know, what I have, which goes back to your argument of predestination or not, you know, would I have prematurely had someone in their life because I was being arrogant and I was being cocky and I was worried about God protecting me and mine, but I wasn't focused, like you said, I wasn't focused on those that I interact with instead of focusing on myself.
Yeah. Go where you have to go and do everything that you have to do. Like, if we're going to simplify it, right? Like, if your life dictates you have to go to work, go to work, but take the precautions out of the love for everyone else, you know? And you know, you, one of the things that you said, you kind of alluded to it a couple times, but one of the beautiful things, if there is a silver lining, is people are turning to faith right now. You know, regardless of what that faith is, people are turning to churches and to, you know, wise men and philosophers and wise women, and people are looking for truth and they're looking for hope. And ultimately what they're looking for is something that will take away their anxiety and, you know, and their fear. And, you know, another verse that comes to mind is in Philippians 4. In verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Like, in all things, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God," right? So if we're anxious, what's a tool we have? Pray, you know, to pray and bring it to the Lord with thanksgiving, not saying, "God, thank you for the coronavirus," but, "God, thank you that we have this with, you know, the limited wisdom and signs that we have. Thank you that I still have a home and food and all of those different things that we have to be thankful for." And then it says in verse 7, "And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So we can have peace amidst chaos. Like, I'm not super anxious about COVID. I'm concerned. I'm not fearful of it. Again, I'm concerned. And that may sound like semantics, but if you could see into my heart and into my mind right now, I have a peace about me, because I know that God is working in all of this, and that people will ultimately come to know Christ because of this tragedy, and, you know, and that, you know, that we can rejoice. But I love in verse 5, it says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Again, that love word, right? Like, you know, you can't be gentle when you're afraid. Like, think about when there's panic at a tight spot, like whether it's a club or whatever, in some of the horrible things that have happened, people are not gentle in those situations, right? They're elbowing, they're pushing, they're running to the wall. Like, and that's because they're afraid, and for good reason in some of those situations. You know, there's just a, I think, you know, the faith is, the strength of our faith rests in the things that we know about God, not in the things that we don't know about the future, right? So, like, the future can be a thousand different things, but God stays the same, you know? You know, the future could be a thousand different horrible deaths, but God's faithfulness and his beautiful eternity remains the same, you know? And
well, that's a good thing that you just said, Josh, about the whole thing about, like, you know, basically being in a burning building. You know, the first thing a person tells you is not to panic, but they also tell you to move quickly and orderly to the nearest exit. You know, it's not, "Hey, everybody sit down and we'll walk out the door one by one." You know, and that's the thing I'm trying to do, is find that happy median, you know, to where, like you just said, everybody's not acting up to where everybody's trampling each other to death and everybody's fighting so hard to get out of the door that no one can get out the door. But in the same sense, we're not just sitting there to where, you know, the building's on fire and everybody's looking at each other playing rock, paper, scissors to say who goes first to get out the door. You know what I mean? Like, we got to get, as a society, where we all get together and we move with a purpose. You know, we're not pushing and shoving and hoarding toilet paper and you know, buying 12 gallons of milk that's all going to go bad on the, at the same time. So I don't even know why you're hoarding it. But, you know, but at the same sense, everybody's like, hey, I need this, 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 and this. Because, like, the whole thing with the grocery stores, if everybody would have just bought what they needed, then we wouldn't have none of the situations that we had where people didn't have toilet paper, because all that did is added more of a shortage, because people started freaking out because there was already a shortage. And so that's what I, you know, that was the whole purpose of this, is really to try to find a way that we can figure out. And I think we did a good job. You know, you determined that, you know, it's about the subliminal messaging and not what you're actually saying. It's what's deep down in the hurt, in the heart. Is it out of love? Is it out of selfishness? Is it out of any of the things that Christ told us not to be, or is it what Christ told us to be? If it is an example that Christ gave us that we should be following, or is it a selfish thing? It's a thing all about me, so I can go and gloat that I have, I guess you say, that I have a mighty God and nothing can touch me, because to me that's temptation, like I said earlier about Jesus at the mountain. You know, if you go out there and you telling someone, not out of love, not because you're trying to, you know, explain who Christ is, not because you're trying to share the word of God, but as you're trying to brag about something that I don't know if that makes sense, but you know what I'm saying? It's like you're being arrogant with Christ, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I think that's a lot of the problem that people have when they come up to this virus and they're like, oh, I trust God. It's like, okay, well, if you trust God, then, you know, when it's 28 degrees outside, why don't you go outside in your underwear and run around? Like, you know, you're going to get pneumonia, or you'll get hypothermia, but you have faith that Christ is going to protect you. You know, why don't you go jump off a diving board without being able to swim, because Christ is going to protect you. But people don't.
Faith should be that Christ will protect our soul and our eternity. You know, like, and there's definitely stories where he does protect our bodies, and we've all heard of miracles, and I'm not taking any of that away, because that happens within God's will. But we so often focus on our comfort in this moment that we forget that it's about eternity with the good God. And again, that gets into this slippery slope of, well, if it's all about eternity, then I can do whatever I want here. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we operate within the world and the life and the people that we were given by God to be stewards over. We operate within those things the best we can with love, and to the best that we can without fear. And then we trust God with the rest. You know, like, all you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and there are these people who are dying or watching their kids die, which I don't know that I would have the strength to do, but their hope in that moment isn't that they're not going to die, right? Their hope in that moment is an eternity. And so I'm not saying that we can live flippantly, but what I can say is, even in the midst of tragedy and death, God is still good, and he is still incredible. And I love what you're saying, because I think often what we say is like, look how good and big my God is. Look how much he loves me. And when we forget that, look how big the God of the universe is. Look how much he loves us, right? Look how much he loves this planet. Look how much. And because of the way he loves us, and because he loved us first, then we should, you know, then we should, in response to that, love one another and care for one another. And let that be our sounding board.
Well, I think it gives a lot to, you know, to ponder, and it's really like those things, you know, where you have these theologians, when you first start looking into theology and you start seeing these guys and you know, now ladies that are getting more prominent, but you see these theologians that have took like one verse out of the Bible and wrote you know, like 12, 15 book series on one verse in the Bible, and you're like, how in the world did you do that? It's, you know, it's three words.
Yeah.
You know, right. As an example, the shortest verse, yeah. Jesus wept. How you will write an entire series out of that? But you can write an entire series on this Jesus yeah. wept. Because you go back to this same thing of over and over of how it actually applies to everything. And I think what we basically did is took the sum of the entire Bible and put it in this one thought of thought about how to find the middle ground between being arrogant, cocky, selfish, conceited, ignorant, and actually trusting in Christ.
Yeah, to sum it and, up, you know, it's love, not fear. It's do good to other people, but be safe, be smart. You know, it's knowledge, science, medical. Those are all common graces from God. But if you perseverate on those things, then those will bring fear instead of love. You know, it's do things for others, do things for yourself, keep yourself, you know, entertained and healthy mentally and physically. Like, there's so many things we can do in this time, you know, to keep our bodies healthy, our minds healthy, our spirits healthy. And if I can close with this, I want to read this last verse, but I want to read it over anybody who's listening. And it's Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, "Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And I want to read that over anybody listening, because our thoughts can deceive us. And nobody can really understand their thoughts. But if we are truly rooted in love and truly rooted in our God and in our moral system and in our faith, we can't be moved by, you know, the virus. Or that's not saying we can't be sick or anything like that, but who we want to be as people, as a human race, isn't going to change because of that. You know, our roots are going to run deep, and we're going to have branches that stretch out far and help people, and you know, the fruits of our labor will be there for other people to enjoy. And so I want that for your listeners that if they don't have a relationship with, you know, with God, that now would be the time that they, you know, seek, you know, look out there and talk to people that you trust and that you know, and you know, and it's as easy as saying a prayer before you go to bed tonight. You know, I believe that God is that good and that magnificent that he'll bring peace in the storms. You know, I know it's a really religious podcast, but you had to have known that was coming with me on here. So,
oh no, I mean, everybody knows I went to school to be a yeah. minister. If they've listened to like any of the episodes, you know, they know that religion is a big part of my, you know, a big part of my life. And I mean, whether I talk about politics or, you know, I talk about anything, faith is always, yeah. you know, faith is first. Not saying I'm good at it at any means, but I do. Yeah. Well, that goes back to this whole argument we're having, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or this whole conversation we're having. But no, I mean, I really appreciate it. Because I know there's a lot of things we agree on, but a lot of people don't understand and probably would never believe that
yeah.
there's a lot of things we don't agree on. But I mean, I really think it's a whole lot better for me to have a conversation with somebody else instead of me doing it by myself, because then it seems more of just my own thoughts in my head. And I know that if I say something that's out of the way or that's wrong, you're going to be like, no. And it's not going to bother me because, you know, like I said before, it's theories, you know, it's theories that we have, but at a certain sense,
right,
certain things are common sense. You know, if me and you go back and we argue about different words, like some versions have verses in Matthew that are left out and other verses have them in there. And, you know, we can go back and forth about that. Or like you said, where it's free will versus predestination. You know, those are all theories, and you know, we could talk every day, all day long for the rest of our lives, and we could cover, you know, not really get anywhere. But with something like this, it's not really a theory. It's really, stop being an idiot. I mean, that's really, that's really what it is. Like, and I really think there's a lot of people that are just misinformed, and they just need to be informed, and hopefully, you know, they'll listen to this. And, you know, of course, the ultimate goal is if they're not religious, then, you know, they learn who Christ is. And if they are and they're struggling with the idea of, you know, I have a church leader that's telling me that I don't need to worry about this because I have Christ, or, you know, they're not sure, nobody's giving them answers, because, you know, that's my biggest beef with Christians is, or Christian leaders, is that they don't get, you know, they don't stand in the pulpit and be like, hey, look, this is
right,
this is how it needs to be. You know, they leave the flock trying to figure out for themselves. But no, man, I just want to appreciate it. Yeah, I really do. And is there anything else you want to get off?
I think I'll probably just close by saying, you know, for everybody who's listening, in the end, you know, we will get through this as a world, as a country, as whatever state you're in. We will get through this and we'll be stronger. And it'll probably be bigger or smaller than they're saying it is. You know, that was like a huge me going way out there for a prediction, right? It's either going to be bigger or smaller. But I say that to say that,
I know, right?
Nobody's best guess is going to be correct. And so that's the piece to where we just have to have faith that regardless of how big or how small it is, and using the word small seems inappropriate, but you get what I'm saying. No matter what it ends up being, humanity will continue, and it's going to be those who are rooted deeply in love, those who are rooted deeply in faith and in prayer, and in good works towards other people. It's going to be those that make the world worth living in, you know, that make it worth fighting for and continuing for. So, you know, continue to do the best you can. Fill your heart and your mind with things that are helpful. That's going to be for them. But if media is bringing you down for a little while, if you've got a certain friend or family member that you love like crazy, but they're bringing heart, you know, keep your conversations point. Let them know you love them and how much you care for them. If your free time is bringing you down, you know, pick up something serious. Learn a new language. Learn how to play an instrument. Pick up the phone and call someone you haven't talked to in a while. Make good use of this moment, because it's never going to be like this again. People like myself, I'm probably never going to have this much free time again, even though I am working. I'm working only, you know, 3 days a week, which is not like me. We're never going to have these opportunities, good or bad, again. So if it's awful, you never have to go through it again. If it's great, you'll probably never have this much free time again. So just rejoice in it, you know, and be good to each other. That's it. I'm done.
All right, Pastor Josh. Well, I appreciate it. And until next time, this has been the Lock on Everything.